A year into Donald J. Trump's presidency, his defense secretary, Jim Mattis, sent the new commander-in-chief a startling recommendation. With nations around the world threatening to use cyber weapons to bring down America's power grids, cell phone networks, and water supplies, Trump should declare he was ready to take extraordinary steps to protect the country. If any nation hit America's critical infrastructure with a devastating strike, even a non-nuclear one, it should be forewarned that the United States might reach for a nuclear weapon in response. Like most things in Washington, the recommendation leaked immediately. Many declared it a crazy idea and wild overkill. While nations had turned their cyber weapons against each other dozens of times in recent years, no attack had yet been proven to cost a human life, at least directly. Not the American attacks on Iran's and North Korea's weapons programs, not the North Korean attacks on American banks, a famed Hollywood studio, and the British healthcare system, not the Russian attacks on Ukraine, Europe, and then the core of American democracy. That streak of luck was certain to end soon. But why would Donald Trump or any of his successors take the huge risk of escalating a cyber war by going nuclear? The Pentagon's recommendation, it turned out, was the prelude to other proposals, delivered to a president who values toughness and America first, to use the nation's powerful cyber weapons far more aggressively. But it was also a reminder of how quickly the fear of devastating cyber attacks has moved from the stuff of science fiction and die-hard movies to the center of American defense strategy. Just over a decade before, in 2007, cyber attacks were missing entirely from the global threat assessment that intelligence agencies prepare each year for Congress. Terrorism topped that list, along with other post-9/11 concerns. Now, that hierarchy has been reversed. For several years, a variety of cyber threats, ranging from a paralyzing strike on the nation's cities to a sophisticated effort to undercut public confidence in its institutions, has appeared as the number one threat on the list. Not since the Soviets tested the bomb in 1949 had the perception of threats facing the nation been revised so quickly. Yet Mattis, who had risen to four-star status in a career focused on the Middle East, feared that the two decades spent chasing Al-Qaeda and ISIS around the globe had distracted America from its most potent challenges. Great power competition, not terrorism, is now the primary focus of U.S. national security, he said in early 2018. America's competitive edge has eroded in every domain of warfare, including the newest one, cyberspace. The nuclear strategy he handed Trump gave voice to an inchoate fear among many in the Pentagon that cyber attacks posed a threat unlike any other, and one we had completely failed to deter. The irony is that the United States remains the world's stealthiest, most skillful cyber power, as the Iranians discovered when their centrifuges spun out of control and the North Koreans suspected as their missiles fell out of the sky. But the gap is closing. Cyber weapons are so cheap to develop and so easy to hide that they have proven irresistible. And American officials are discovering that in a world in which almost everything is connected, phones, cars, electrical grids, and satellites, everything can be disrupted, if not destroyed. For 70 years, the thinking inside the Pentagon was that only nations with nuclear weapons could threaten America's existence. Now that assumption is in doubt. In almost every classified Pentagon scenario for how a future confrontation with Russia and China, even Iran and North Korea, might play out, the adversary's first strike against the United States would include a cyber barrage aimed at civilians. It would fry power grids, stop trains, silence cell phones, and overwhelm the internet. In the worst-case scenarios, food and water would begin to run out. Hospitals would turn people away. Separated from their electronics, and thus their connections, Americans would panic or turn against one another. The Pentagon is now planning for this scenario because it knows many of its own war plans open with similarly paralyzing cyber attacks against our adversaries, reflecting new strategies to try to win wars before a shot is fired. Glimpses of what this would look like have leaked out in recent years, partly thanks to Edward J. Snowden, partly because a mysterious group called the Shadow Brokers, suspected of close links to Russian intelligence, obtained terabytes of data containing many of the tools that the National Security Agency used to breach foreign computer networks. It didn't take long for some of those stolen cyber weapons to be shot back at America and its allies, in attacks whose bizarre-sounding names, like WannaCry, suddenly appeared in the headlines every week. Yet the secrecy surrounding these programs obscures most public debate about the wisdom of using them or the risks inherent in losing control of them. The government's silence about America's new arsenal and its implications poses a sharp contrast to the first decades of the nuclear era. The horrific scenes of destruction at Hiroshima and Nagasaki not only seared the national psyche, but they made America's destructive capabilities, and soon Russia's and China's, obvious and undeniable. Yet even while the government kept the details classified, how to build atomic weapons, where they are stored, and who has the authority to order their launch, America engaged in a decades-long political debate about when to threaten to use the bomb and whether to ban it. Those arguments ended up in a very different place from where they began. In the 1950s, the United States talked casually about dropping atomic weapons to end the Korean War. By the 80s, there was a national consensus that the U.S. would reach for nuclear weapons only if our national survival was at stake. So far, there has been no equivalent debate about using cyber weapons, even as their destructive power becomes more evident each year. The weapons remain invisible, the attacks deniable, the results uncertain. Naturally secretive, intelligence officials and their military counterparts refuse to discuss the scope of America's cyber capabilities for fear of diminishing whatever narrow advantage the country retains over its adversaries. The result is that the United States makes use of this incredibly powerful new weapon largely in secret, on a case-by-case basis, before we fully understand its consequences. Acts that the United States calls cyber network exploitations, when conducted by American forces, are often called cyber attacks, when American citizens are the target. That word has come to encompass everything from disabling the grid, to manipulating an election, to worrying about that letter arriving in the mail warning that someone, maybe criminals, maybe the Chinese, just grabbed our credit cards, social security numbers, and medical histories for the second or third time.